Hello and welcome to episode 178 of the Saint Score podcast. And to be honest, that number was about the amount of times my heart was beating every minute during Southampton's thrilling 3-3 draw with Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium. Before the game, Sky Sports' pretty much coverage would have made you think that only one team was playing with it centred around the Gunners, but it was Saints that shocked the stadium when Alcaraz scored within 40 seconds. Walcott and Chaleta Scar also scored either side of Martinelli's goal, but sadly, we weren't able to hold on to what would have been a historic 3-1 victory. Two goals right in the last few minutes meant that we dropped 2 points, or was it one game? I guess we'll discuss that in a minute. And yeah, only a few more games to go. We're still bottom of the table, but hope, well, it's come back. There's all four of us this week. My name's Harry Tizard. I'm joined by Ollie Bose, Jamie Allen and Mikey Maidment this week. And I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Doing well. I wasn't able to catch the last one, unfortunately. So hopefully you didn't miss me too much. But I'm back. Was able to watch the game. I went down the pub for it. And my mates were saying, why are you doing this? Because in typical, they were like, it's going to be done in 20 minutes. Arsenal are going to be 3-0 up by 20, 25 minutes. And then we're just going to be sat in the pub watching Saints get battered. But it didn't happen, which is a nice little surprise. And I think I picked quite a good game to go and watch at the pub. So, yeah, pretty pleased with myself on that one.
Well, we brought Jamie in from the cold as well. He's missed the last couple. But how are you doing this week?
I'm not bad. I'm back from work. I'm ready to talk all things Southampton and about how we're going to stay in the Premier League and not get relegated.
See, we've missed this positivity. Mikey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, I wasn't able to catch last night's game, but it was last night's game. I'm very happy with the point. As frustrating as it is that we conceded twice late on, like, very happy with what we've managed to get considering we weren't expecting anything from this game. So yeah, it does perk your spirits up a little bit.
Well, before we get on to the nitty-gritty part, I want to know your overall thoughts right now, Ollie.
Right now?
Right now.
What are my overall thoughts? I was absolutely devastated when they got back into the game, but we'd put in enough hard work to give ourselves that cushion, if that makes sense. So there's been times where we've held on to 1-0 leads or we've been up by a goal and playing quality oppositions like Arsenal are, they're top of the league for a reason. They can get goals out of nowhere and they can get them quickly. So the fact that we gave ourselves a 2-goal cushion meant we weren't leaving with nothing. If we were 2-1 up and lost 3-2, now that would be devastating. I think that would have been a real hit to morale, but we're still keeping it at a decent level because we set a really good standard, and it's a good reminder to all the players as well that you can do it against anyone in the league. If you can do it against top of the league, we can now do that against anyone. So, yeah, although it is frustrating, it does feel like in a way we've lost some points. It also is brilliant to try and get the absolute most out of the remaining games of the season.
So Ollie wants us to take the most out of this game. Jamie, is it easy to do? You know, 3-1 up, 88 minutes, and it somehow just slips away. What are your overall thoughts on it?
I think if there was any other team in the league, we would have comfortably taken home the 3 points there. It's just unfortunate that it is an Arsenal side who are fighting for that title and giving their all for it. And those last dying seconds of the game where they got those two goals, it's just as soon as the second one went in, I knew for a fact they'd get a third. Just because they're fighters and they do not give up. But it's like I said, I don't want to say the classic, oh, I would have taken a point if we went in the first place. It's just, if there's any other team, I think we would have won that. It's just, unfortunately, Arsenal are fighting something bigger than us, unfortunately.
I mean, top v bottom, it's always going to be difficult. Mikey, what are your thoughts?
I think it was just nice to see us take our chances that we created. We got into some really good situations, especially in the first half. I mean, second half, we didn't create a lot, but the set piece, we scored from a corner, which I think is the first one since we lost to Grimsby in the cup. Same Coletta car at the back, stick unmarked. So very similar circumstances on how we scored those corners. But it's a shame that we didn't come away with all 3 points because I think the performance probably deserved it. But as Ollie said, like, they're a good side, Arsenal. They're really good. They're fighting, they're battling, they're trying to get this league title, and we made it. so difficult for them to be able to do that, that they've only come away with a point and they'll be gutted with that. We're as much as like the feeling is that we may have lost the chance to get 3 points against Arsenal, to put in that performance away from home, like on a Friday night with the lights on and everything like that, it's just something to be quite proud of. And it is a shame that we lost that lead, but to come away with a point where we thought we were going to get nothing is really good. We've scored 3 goals, which is something that doesn't happen often. and we're looking good. So hopefully it's one of those ones where, and we've said it before throughout the season, that we've put in a good performance. We've come away with something from games where we haven't really come away with anything. And hopefully we can just bring that to Bournemouth and take our chances that we can create against Bournemouth instead.
I mean, Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville both completely wrote us off beforehand. And to be honest, a lot of Saints fans did when they saw the team lineup. And I looked at it myself and I thought, Adam Armstrong, that's a bit of a strange choice. Similar to the Aribo one last week where he's not made the squad or just sat on the bench the last 4 or 5 games. And he's thrown in. Ollie, what did you think of that and the team selection as a whole?
Yeah, to be honest, there was laughs from when it kind of flashed up before the game because it felt very prepared for the championship is the nicest way of putting it. It didn't look very strong, but it was part of a wider plan, I think, which paid off in the end. I mean, the thing that interested me was the manager's use of, is it play stoppers that he's coined? Like at the start of the, I think it was either in the press conferences or in the interview before the actual game, he mentioned about how he wants wingers and those midfielders to stop play rather than be playmakers, which was really interesting. And it worked well. We created opportunities from turnovers and play and counterattacks and pressing. And it worked. So although it wasn't a particularly strong team, you look at some of the January signings, again, that didn't make the starting 11, he picked the players that would be most successful for his game plan, and his game plan worked.
Mikey, did you look at the same? Adam Armstrong, Alcaraz, Theo Walcott, they're 3 players that allow you to play in transition. I mean, I think there's a lot of disappointment that Sulemana wasn't starting instead of Elianusi. But there's a clear tactical plan there, even if I didn't feel that Adam Armstrong really had much of an impact on the game whatsoever.
I think that's sort of how we looked to play, was to exploit them on the counter-attack and see what we can do. We know that they didn't have the strongest back four that they usually like to play. They were without William Saliba, who's a huge miss for them. They've got Rob Holding in there, who's a good player, and he'd be a player that he'd probably start for maybe 6, 7, 8 teams in the Premier League. But he's definitely someone we probably targeted and had a look at and go, they're not going to be as comfortable playing out without William Saliba there. And it's something that we did look to exploit. I mean, the transitions that we showed in the first half and the dangerous positions we managed to get ourselves in was really, really good. I mean, we played with pace, we played with a high intensity, we pressed them from the front, and it worked out really well. That's what the first 2 goals came from, were us being effective in those transition situations and taking the chances that get presented to us. So yeah, no, it was definitely a tactical plan that was understood by the players, understood by the coaching staff, and it worked for the first, well, probably the first half especially, and then sort of went a little bit more like, we're going to protect what we've got, and we'll see if we can do that for the second half.
Well, it's an absolutely perfect start from Saints. Alcaraz scores within, I think it was 30 seconds. No one was expecting it whatsoever. I certainly wasn't. I mean, I had 3 Arsenal players in my FPL team, if that shows how little faith I had. Jamie, was that the perfect start? It's a very obvious question, but really, there's nothing more you can really ask for.
I missed it because I was like a minute late pressing play on my on Sky, and and I missed it, and I was so annoyed. I heard my brother and his mates, because they're watching, because he's got a few Arsenal fans downstairs screaming, like, what's going on? It just started. But Charlie Alcaraz picked up an Aaron Ramsdale's mistake with his light pass to Zinchenko and slotted at home. Lovely little finish, even though it was a little tipped onto the post by Ramsdale.
Yeah, Ollie, what did you think of that fast start?
I couldn't believe what I was watching, first of all. It was brilliant. And it was exactly what we needed, because it turned the fans straight away. They thought they were coming just to see a nice, easy 3-0, 4-0 win. But they're like, oh no, they're here to play. You see Arsenal making that huddle straight away after, trying to get themselves back in and refocus. But it made me realize, oh, there's mistakes in this team. You kind of sometimes think when you write it off, you're like, oh, these guys won't make any mistakes. They're top of the league for a reason. Yeah, they are. No, they do make mistakes. And Ramsdale made a mistake with his first pass of the game. So there's opportunities to exploit. My voice goes there. I was obviously ecstatic when it went in. And my main worry afterwards was, are we going to hold on for 89 minutes? Are we going to sit back and try and soak pressure for 89 minutes? Which is not what we did, which I was very glad to see. And that we did actually kick on and create chances further on. But yeah, I don't think my heart would have been able to handle 89 minutes of sitting back and soaking up pressure.
I mean, a lot of people say that scoring really early on is probably the worst time to score. But to be honest, we don't normally score. So it was nice to see that and just take it at any point. We mentioned Alcaraz last episode, Mikey, that we didn't have a sort of player that would just pop up with a goal. But Alcaraz was that man against Wolves, against Leicester, and now against Arsenal. That's the third time he scored the opening goal. How important is he for us the rest of this season? And almost how important could he be for us next season? Even if we do go down, he could be that main player to build a team around because he's got the quality.
Oh, he's showing it at the moment as well. Like, you can tell his work ethic, the amount he puts in. It's not just the on-the-ball stuff, it's the off-the-ball stuff. Like, being able to chase back, put in that effort. He's one of the ones that have really come off this year, like one of the signings that we try to build this squad around. He's doing well at the moment. And he is someone who took time to sort of get into this first team picture, but you're really seeing it now of what he can do. He obviously popped up with that first goal. We got the assist for Walcott's second as well. He's just had a very good showing in this Arsenal game, and hopefully it continues. I mean, he can operate as an 8, he can operate as a 10, he can operate as one of the 9s now as well, because we appear to stop playing with strikers at all. So yeah, and I think the argument that a lot of Southampton fans are putting out is that Alcaraz shouldn't have been taken off at half time. I think the direction of it was, yes, we were looking to be less attacking and try and protect the game a little bit more. We knew we were going to get flooded. And towards the end of that first half, we were under the cosh a lot and we were having to defend with bodies on the line and everything like that. So I think a third centre-half was okay to bring on. Yeah, Charlie maybe wasn't the one you wanted to take off, but I think he was on a booking as well at that point too. So you just didn't want to risk the fact that he may or may not get sent off during the game, because that would have been a real problem. So him coming off, I think, was fine at that moment. I think later in the game, you can not question the decisions, but maybe change things a little bit more to what it was. Like, you could see the plan for the rest of the game. But no, he had a really, really good 45 minutes, and he'll be key for the rest of the season, hopefully, fingers crossed. And I think I saw on the Twitter feed today, like, someone brought up the highlights of when we beat Bournemouth at home 2-1, and Tadic had that performance where he sort of, it felt like he just dragged us through that game completely on his own. And it's almost like someone saying we need someone to be able to do that, and maybe he's it. Maybe Charlie is the one to drag us through these last 6-7 games and trying to get us out of the spot we're in.
I mean, you've mentioned about a player that could drag us out of a certain situation. It felt like Theo Walcott was that man at the Emirates, a second goal for us at that stage. And Jamie, he's an experienced player. He knows what it's like to play at the top level, and you could see that from his finish.
I just thought it was funny. He chose to celebrate in the game when he scored last time. There's no crowd, but didn't celebrate this time in front of the Arsenal fans. It was a brilliant ball from Charlie Alcaraz. Again, it's just like, and then Theo brought back the years with his pace coming out and ran around the defender, and a lovely slotted finish past Ramsdale. But I just can't believe he was not played under Ralph as much as he is under Sellers, because he's really changing his game at the moment and showing the passion for the club. I just think it's just so nice to see the player that wants to be there and wants to keep us up. And hopefully with his contribution to that game, that 1 point could make the difference, but we'll have to see.
Ollie, what do you feel that Theo Walcott adds? Someone that wasn't really utilised that much last season. At the start of the season especially, wasn't used at all. But under Sellers, he's been almost one of the first names on the team sheet in recent weeks, and now he gets another goal.
Yeah, he's been great with. I noticed it a lot on the counter. Him and Alcaraz had a great combination. They continued just to attack space and push the attack forward rather than turning back. I do still find some of his play frustrating to watch. A lot of his, some of his seemingly easy passes he can make look quite difficult, which really makes it tough for me sometimes. But overall, his impact has been really good for the side. I also think defensively, pressing, he's been great, and he does exactly what he's been instructed to do. And he's an experienced head around the side, which I think goes a long way, and can kind of relay the manager's message on the pitch, kind of almost be like a secondary captain at the top of the field. So yeah, he's done brilliantly since he's kind of been given this chance. But yeah, there are still a few times where I notice a few kind of sloppy passes and poor decisions, but overall still been great for the side.
Yeah, and at 2-0, it felt like we were quite comfortable. Arsenal were certainly on the back foot, but they always have creators in Martinelli, in Saka. They got both of our fullbacks booked. Mikey, do you feel like it was maybe a poor decision from Selles not to give them support earlier? Maybe it was the players on the pitch that weren't giving them support earlier? Because I feel that's a big reason that it went down to 2-1, because they kept getting on the 1v1s. And I feel like maybe Armstrong and Theo Walcott, maybe Elianusi could have helped them double up and made it a lot more difficult, because it was just that scenario. And each flank, they got singled out. And at the end of the day, we were punished after a time where we really should have been punished a bit earlier by their danger.
Maybe, but it's also an element of risk that you want to take. We know that Arsenal like to get their fullbacks forward, and Ben White, Zinchenko, they like to be an influence further up the pitch. So it may have been the fact of, let's not try and double up on their wingers and give them the freedom. Let's try and pin their wingbacks back a little bit more. If we can play it, if we want to play a transition, we need bodies forward up the pitch to be able to play that transition. Like it's not just the case of, like, we just have to move forward quickly. If the problem that we've had sometimes is getting out from our deeper positions, because we just haven't had those bodies forward up the pitch. So of course, it's an element of risk. If you're going to leave players like Saka and Martinelli one-on-one with your fullbacks, then you're probably going to come off less than what you want. So that's probably why we went into that back five a little bit more, to maybe either give them cover or give ourselves a little bit more cover in the box after the halftime whistle went. But when you talk about, I think we played on transition well, and the second goal that we score, we don't score it if we don't have our wingers slightly higher up the pitch trying to affect play. So yeah, I think on the one, it just depends on the balance of risk that you're going to take. If you leaving your fullbacks one versus one, then the moment that you get to be able, if you do win the ball back, the moment that you can pounce, you have maybe a 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 up the pitch instead. So yeah, it's an element of risk. We went for it and we got a goal from it. We also conceded a goal from it in the first half, so it kind of went to null at that point. But yeah, if you can get goals from it, then yeah, play with an element of risk. We haven't done that enough, I feel like, this season. We haven't played with risk. We played quite almost too sensible. And sometimes when you do that, you struggle to get out. You struggle to create chances. We haven't been creating chances over the last couple of games. And yesterday we did, because we played with that element of risk and that element of wanting to be good in transition. So I get the point of, yes, we probably, at 2-0, you probably think maybe bring your wing backs back a little bit more. But it was working from that point. So yeah, it's unfortunate we conceded the goal that we did. Like it was just a very well run from Saka, a cut back to Martinelli, very good volley. I wouldn't have taken that volley first time. I'd wanted a touch. But he went for it first time, and it was very hard for Bazunu to get across too. But yeah, I get the point.
Jamie, Mikey mentioned an element of risk. Do you think that's something that we've missed, especially against the teams lower down in the table? You know, you look at Leicester today, someone fighting just above us in the table. They get a 2-1 win versus Wolves, and they start three strikers. I know they didn't end with three strikers, but they had to come off. But is that something we're missing up until this point, and hopefully something that Selles will take into the next game and go, it works, at least in the first 45 minutes, before we have to switch it up?
Well, it's just like I said, it just kind of seems like it's like a random generator between who starts, and it's like it seems like he's been trying to do these risks for the last few games, and finally one has paid off. It's just, I just wish they were more calculated, but this one kind of was. Apart from obviously there's a lot of mistakes on Arsenal's behalf, but it's just you have to take those risks at this time now, because we are not, if they were mid-table. I don't know, like Fulham, where maybe we can just sit back and just defend and be really boring and try and get those like smaller points. But we have to take the risk to stay in the league, and that is what we need to do right now. And fair play to Ruben, as he did get a good result at Arsenal. It's just stop beating the bigger teams and beat the smaller teams so we can fight to stay in this league.
Oh, yeah, at least get something out of them. Ollie, how important was it that at half-time, we were still in the lead? I felt like in the 20th minute when they got that goal back, it felt like there was a long time until that half-time break, because they were the team with the momentum. And we had to, despite the fact we had a couple of chances, Elianoussi and Alcaraz, I think, you know, Ramsdale made a couple of saves. They were the team in the ascendancy. And Alcaraz had to head the ball off the line off of a white header to make sure that they didn't get an equaliser.
Yeah. Well, I noticed there were, it felt a little bit like, I don't know whether it's the old Ralph tactics coming in, but do you remember when we used to have the juice breaks or the energy bars, and as someone would go down with an injury and it would allow everyone to regroup? I'm sure I saw a sneaky one of those in 25. I think Theo Walcott went down and had a kind of mystery injury and was suddenly back up and fine. So I don't want to expose the players or anything, but I think we tried to kind of split up the game in order to make it more manageable, try and do the first 25 minutes where we were ahead, and then we had another 20 minutes, then get into half time, then a kind of third quarter where we had our tactic, which we changed, and see how that goes. And then we had another convenient injury where we could get the tactics board out and get the little magnetic formations, and I'm sure Mikey would have loved that, trying to work out all the different, you know, but it meant he could put more instructions into the game and be more reactive as needed. So I think it was basically just managing the game, and it was vital that we got into halftime with the result we had, because it meant we could make changes, which we did, and set out our second half game plan.
I mean, you talk about managing the game. Bazunu took his sweet time throughout the entire 90 minutes to take the goal kicks. If I was a home fan, I'd be absolutely kicking off that he didn't receive a yellow card in the first 20 minutes, the first 45, let alone the first 80. I don't know what time he got his yellow card in the end. And at half-time, it's 2-1. Mikey, you sort of touched on it before, but can you understand the substitution that Sellers made? A lot of people, and I mean a lot of people on social media, were kicking off, bringing off a guy that got a goal, got an assist. But Sellers, after the game, he justified it, saying that it at least meant that we could double up on each side of three centre-backs. Charlie Alcaraz was already on a yellow card, and he can be a bit of a hothead at times, especially at least in his time in Argentina. His discipline wasn't fantastic. Both of our full-backs were on yellow cards, so that he couldn't get into 1v1 situations, and maybe he was a bit tired at the same point. But can you understand both sides of it, that yes, maybe it could have been bad, he could have got sent off, we could have conceded again, but once again, he was the person that was dragging the ball forward. He was the one that, you know, played a part in both the goals.
Yeah, no, I can understand both sides of it. I mean, all the reasons why you said was sort of the reasons that I had planned to give, like, if that was going to be the angle we were going to go for. But, you know, like, it was his decision at the end of the day. I think it was probably right to go to a back three. At that point, we were being overwhelmed in our own box quite a bit, and especially with Benarek off the field, who we know how good at his blocking and his positioning that he can be. Like, that was a very nasty fall, like, for him in that challenge with Martinelli. So yeah, the fact we were going to a back three, I think, was probably the correct decision. At that point, I know it's not great to go defensive, but again, it's only a shape. That's like, you can do many things with a back three. Like, Man City played a back three against us, yet dominated the ball for 90 minutes. So it's just the shape. It's what you do with the players with you. I think we're still kind of a threat on the counter attack with the players that we had on the pitch. You look at players like Adam Armstrong, Theo Walcott, who've got the pace to cause teams problems. Maybe not the quality on the ball to have that, but that pace will still scare teams. And as long as we're getting the ball forward, then that's what matters. But yeah, I can understand the frustration that a player who had such a fantastic first half was being dragged out at half time. But then again, if he's getting a bit leggy, we need him for the rest of the year. We don't want him to get injured. And if he's leggy and he's on a yellow card and he just drags someone's shirt in the transition, we're down to 10. So I don't think it was the worst decision in the world to take him off.
So Mikey mentioned it there, Ollie. You don't play the same game the whole way through. And what I mean by that is when we're 0-0, we might need Alcaraz to be able to drag the ball forward, bring it forward, bring others into play. But a 3-1 up, it's not necessarily something that we need. Maybe if you want to score a fourth and completely kill off the game, maybe. But just because you change the tactic doesn't always mean that, you know, someone that's got a goal and assist, just because he's playing well, you can switch it up. And those are the big calls that you need to make throughout the season. And to be fair, even though Arsenal were dominating and controlling the game, they didn't have a shot on target until they were able to change the game in the last few minutes.
Yeah, you're right. And they probably wouldn't notice that everything was running through Alcaraz. So it may have been a bit of a surprise for them when they realised he was off the pitch and we changed our formation. But yeah, like you said, it allows different passages of play, different build-up plays. If we had five at the back, it might give some more cover for the fullbacks to get up, because Walker Peters played well. I don't think he was like especially that involved in some of our major chances, but it just allows for a difference. And like you said, it's a bold call. It's making a decision. I think a lot of the time, a lot of the various managers we've had this season have kind of been reluctant to make changes or try and change things up, and he's gone for an idea, and I think it was, like you said, fairly successful. I don't think we can look back on it and say the five of the back formation change hinders us. I think it did exactly what it needed to, and that formation change, I think we still looked just as strong in.
And Jamie, Ollie mentioned about game management beforehand, and at one point there was a big break in play and you saw Bednarek jump off the bench and talk to the other two centre-backs, talk to a few other players. I don't know what he said, but obviously it was words of encouragement, words of advice. Do you feel like his redemption arc is slowly coming around? A lot of people weren't a big fan when he came back. He made a couple of mistakes in a couple of games that cost us 3 points, that cost us 1 point. But at the moment, it feels like he's slowly turning into someone that the fans can get behind.
It's just reminds like a romantic film where it's like he starts off as a villain, you know, saying I joins Aston Villa, joining a bigger club, going for better things. But then it doesn't work out too well for him. Goes back to the ex, goes out to Santa, not too happy about it. Messes up, you know, kissed a few other girls on a night out. But finally, he gets back into his love of his life, and that is Southampton. And if we stay up, he will have the ultimate film arc ever. Because all the fans love him now. Twitter was actually enjoying him for once. Like Twitter, he's always very popular on the Saints feed. But for once, it was for good reasons. And there's a reason why I have one of his match issue shirts in the FA Cup. You know, because I love that man. I always backed it. I said it on the podcast when he first came back on loan. I called it, Harry. Don't give me that face. I said he'll be back. And he is him.
Anyway, another person that's doing a redemption arc at the moment is Chileta Sarr. He was hung out to dry at times against Newcastle when he got sent off, against Grimsby Town when he was a big reason that we got knocked out despite scoring He gave Orsi a bit of a whack, conceded a penalty, and we went 2-0 down. But it felt, Mikey, that he was going to be the true hero. He got the header in at the back post at 3-1. It felt like Arsenal had watched us too much, that they started copying us with the set pieces when they completely fell asleep and Chileta Sarr was open. What was going through your veins at that point? Because for me, I could not believe it. Arsenal completely dominating, getting all the chances, even if they weren't getting too near our box. We get a corner out of nowhere and we're able to make it count.
It was just sort of, what is going on here? What has happened? What has changed? Is the pressure becoming too much for Arsenal? Are we just taking advantage of a situation? Are we winning the league next year? Those were all the thoughts that were going through the heads. But no, it was unbelievable that we managed to go 3-1 up. Like, I don't think that was in anyone's mind that we were going to score three goals, let alone away from home, let alone against the league leaders. So yeah, it was really good. I mean, the set piece, whether it's a routine that we go for or whether it's just a a little wonder around the back stick and no one picked it up. Like, I don't know. It could be something we worked on in training. I've got no idea. But he was just there at the back post. I think everyone's watching Bella Kopchap get to the header and everyone's eyes go across and go, he's free. Just and that's one of the ones where you always go, oh, he's going to miss that, isn't he? Because just the year that we're having, of course he's going to miss that. But it just sinks into the net. We go, oh my word, with 3-1 up. What is going on? So yeah, it was just very exciting to see it, whether it was a set play or not, I don't know. But yeah, the fact that we were leading 3-1 with about half an hour to go, it gave you confidence of maybe we can just squeeze 3 points out of this. And then yeah, unfortunately the last couple of minutes don't go to plan, and it ends in a draw.
Sadly not. I'll ask you about that in a couple of minutes. But let's keep it positive. Ollie, what were you thinking when Chiletasar found the back of the net?
Well, by this point in the pub, you could tell who were Saints fans, because there was about three of us. who were the Arsenal fans, because they'd gone awfully quiet. And who were the fans that were either Man City or just didn't want Arsenal to win the league, because everyone was then jumping up and then you had everyone else arms crossed out. So yeah, I was going crazy. I could not believe it. It was amazing to have a moment of that excitement in a very, what's been quite poor season. So yeah, a great moment to enjoy.
I mean, we're in control at that point. Arsenal didn't really have any idea how to solve us, and then we make a double substitution followed by a single one. Lavia, Walcott on, and Armstrong come off. Diallo, Sulemana and Onuachu come on, with the latter two being earlier than Diallo. Jamie, do you think that was the right call? And maybe it's a bit of a difficult situation, but 3-1, in control, then it changes.
On paper, it makes sense. but unfortunately, it didn't work out because we lost. It feels like a loss, but but yeah, we got the draw. But I don't know. It's a bit harsh in Diallo, but he like the second goal they scored, he kind of left Odegaard a bit, then he got his shot off. And the third goal was just a mess in general, really, for them. So it's like you can't necessarily pin it all on the Lavia coming off, but it does seem that way because he's just such an important player for us. And the fact he's younger than all of us here, and he's controlling that midfield, and as soon as he comes off, it goes to pot. I don't know if there actually is a correlation between that or not, but it kind of does seem that way.
Well, Mikey's our football scientist. What do you think about that whole situation? Because I know that Sulemana for Walcott was a like-for-like, but putting Onuachu on, a bit of a change of style, bringing Lavia off, someone that, you know, completely controlled the midfield for Diallo, who someone that A, hasn't had a load of minutes recently, but B, 86th minute. For me, even if Lavia's tired, even if he's finding it difficult, I'd have kept him on there. And when he comes off, that's when you think, A, what's going through Diallo's head at 3-1 up? If I was him, I'd be seriously worried, thinking, I don't want to mess this up. Not that he directly absolutely did, but you know, had a part to play in the second one. Overall, what are your thoughts on that triple substitution? Because I know it's difficult to keep the team the same, but it felt like that might have been the best option, or at least the same style of players, that is.
I think with the changes, like you said, it was a different style of play. I think that was one of the issues maybe with it, is that you're bringing off players who are quite good in transition to Onuachu, who, as much as he's a good target and he's a good ball holder and was someone that last week I was very much rooting for to start in this game, it just didn't fit the style of the game that we were trying to play at that point. We weren't necessarily looking for a player that was going to hold the ball up and let bodies come around him. He's not a transition player in that sense. He's a transition player in that sense, but we weren't looking to get bodies forward at that point. We weren't looking to counter, we were looking to contain. So with Onuachu coming on, we lost an element of pace, I think, on the counter-attack. We lost an element of threat where he was a little bit easier to contain than if, let's say, Sulemana goes and joins him up top. Instead of going for this 5-4-1, we go for a 5-3-2. And all of a sudden, we've got a big man, little man that can work around each other and work as a partnership. It felt like we just sort of stuck him up top to go and win headers and be a nuisance in a specific area. But if you hit a ball down the channel, he's not chasing that. He can't get to that before everyone else. So, or at least it takes him a little bit longer to get up to speed. So I think when we went one up top and played that four, we lost an element of threat on the transition, which allowed Arsenal to start bringing more and more and more players forward. So they, instead of keeping like three at the back or four at the back, they could just keep two back there, and whoever stands next to Onoachu stands next to Onoachu, and the other one's a cover player because they're getting to it before Onoachu can sort of try and catch up to them. I think if there's a slightly different substitution, if there's slightly different tactical play there, we maybe be able to get in behind and do that sort of thing. I think one of the reasons why Onoachu came on was also dealing with set pieces. I think if we can see corners and things like that, having that 6'7" player standing at the front post, he can clear the ball quite well. So I think that's one of the reasons why he came on. But I think if you stick someone up there with him, maybe the thing changes and we become a little bit more offensive in those last 15 minutes or so. I think the Diallo substitution, it's a little bit unfair on him that he came on and we conceded twice. Of course, it's not completely his fault. He was a little bit off the off Odegaard for the second goal, and if they don't score the second, they probably don't score the third. There's not that momentum carrying themselves through. I personally don't believe Diallo's up for the Premier League at all. I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if we manage to stay up, we look to move him on in the summer, or he just becomes a very squad player and we bring in another central midfielder, because I just don't think he is up to standard after the couple of years he's had down at the South Coast with us. But yeah, I'd say that if we play a second striker next to Onoachu, I think it works a little bit better. But at the end of the day, Arsenal created two chances and scored two chances in the last 2 minutes of the game. Like, it's happened to us before at the Emirates. It is probably going to happen to us again previous to this. So, yeah.
Well, I've talked a lot about critics this podcast, and another one was due to the fact that a lot of people were unhappy with the fact that we sat so defensive at 3-1 up, Ollie. Do you sort of feel that if it went well, Selez would have been put in honour, they would have thought, fantastic, great management, taking Alcaraz off, doing all these substitutions, sitting deep, we're able to contain, brilliant. Because it didn't, it goes the other way. Do you sort of feel that he could either be a hero or a villain, but nothing in between? And do you feel those criticisms were unfair, or do you think they're fair?
Well, you're right in the fact that the situation we're in, the emotions are ramped up to the highest level. So it was the point where, do you remember in the game where they flashed up the table and they put it, moved us off the bottom, and suddenly everyone's rubbing their hands and going, oh, we only need a couple more points from Bournemouth and then we might be out the relegation zone, yada, yada, yada. You already start thinking in your head about, oh, I could renew my season ticket if we stay up and stuff like that. You get set in that, everyone's, that pressure all releases and you think all very positively, and then it all came crashing down again. That's what made it so devastating in a way, because you would have snapped your hand off for a draw at the start of the game. But it's just that feeling that you were 3-1 up. And I mentioned previously, I don't think there was a problem with us going at five at the back. I think we were still playing well enough and soaking up enough pressure to be sustainable, is I think the best word to put it. But I think with the substitutions, I think Mikey mentioned it pretty well, but yeah, just our kind of identity in those last 10 minutes was just park the bus, really. Just kind of sit back and just not let anything come towards our goal. And yeah, I do like Tulpal, but his defensive work rates just aren't the same as what we had on previously. It meant he was just kind of stood there, and he makes an attempt to close down, but his attempts aren't very effective, let's be honest. He's a big presence, but as a defender, I don't think they were very worried of him kind of closing down. So it meant we had no real press from the front. I know it's the last however many minutes of the game, but it just completely knocked off our mentality. So would I be criticizing No, I can see what the attempt was. I think the idea was that the fresh legs would kind of get over that hurdle that it's not an exact like for like, but I can understand why people were getting disappointed in the fact that we did almost, I'm using air quotes here, throw it away at the end. But no, for me, I don't think I'd be criticizing.
I mean, it almost went completely in the bin, 3-3. And I think people forget there's still, 7-8 minutes left of added time. And Arsenal are piling on the pressure. They had a couple of penalty shouts in there as well. Jesus, I think he spent a lot of time on the floor wanting penalties, but the referee didn't give any of them. Jamie, I know you said at times it's almost felt like a defeat. But on the other side of things, even though we threw away two goals or unlucky two goals, it could have been 4-3, and I think I felt that they could have switched it. I feel like the commentators felt they could have switched it. The entirety of the Emirates Stadium, maybe partial to a few away fans as well, thought it might go that way, because they'd done it before against Bournemouth, went from 2-0 down to 3-2 up.
I think everyone in the whole stadium before the kickoff thought we were going to get absolutely battered. I saw some YouTubers betting £100 stake that would lose 6-0. Like, there's absolutely zero expectations of us to do anything in this game. I think that's something we should be proud of, because say lots of teams gone to this year failed, even though, interestingly, they have conceded the third most goals at home this year, which is quite funny. Yeah, us and Leeds are below them, which is very weird considering they're top of the league. But lots of teams don't go there and win, or, well, we didn't, but they go there and draw. And we should be proud of that, because they're league leaders for a reason, and we will stay up.
Mikey, it's a pretty simple question. Is it 2 points dropped or one gained?
I still think when you look at the reflection of the game, it's one gained. I know, like, it's all game situation and statistics and everything. They had four times the amount of completed passes compared to us. It just shows their dominance on the ball and how much work we had to put in off the ball for it, how little control we actually had over that game. As much as we were 3-1 up, Arsenal were still in control. They were still looking like a team that could put some goals past us. And when you look at Trossard hitting the bar with 3 minutes to go or something like that, if that floats into the top corner, it's absolutely gutting. That's all I was thinking, is when it went to 3-3, it's all like, just don't concede a fourth. Don't concede a fourth. Come away with a point. This point is good. Let's move on from this and take it with us. I mean, it could be the start of something revitalizing and something that we think we can build on that point. It could just be a very good 3-3 draw away at the end with Emirates, and we were very close to taking 3 points away from the potential league champions. And if anything, if you just want to be like slightly evil in your mind, you can say that's 2 points we've taken away from Arsenal, meaning they might not win the league, which would be kind of funny. So if you take anything from that, it's that. But no, I think after the whistle, you're devastated that you haven't got the 3 points. But as it slowly comes to terms of what the last 90 minutes have been, we go, oh, that was a really good performance. We put in a lot in that game. We came away with something. We didn't come away empty-handed, which is the most important thing. We've had a lot of performances this year where it's felt like we've done well and we haven't got anything from it. So to come away with that, with the players that we have compared to Arsenal, it's an amazing result. And yeah, hopefully something we can build on. As much as Leicester winning this weekend was something big, Leeds still lost, Everton dropped points and they had a player sent off. We're still in the mix of things for the last six games of the league. Bournemouth is going to be a huge game on Thursday, and it's going to be one of our last home games this year. We've only got three more left, so yeah, it's going to be that one's going to be a big one. That one is the one that we're expecting to get 3 points from. And if you take these three games, if you take Arsenal, Bournemouth and Newcastle, and we can try and come away with 4 points, 5 points from these three games, that's going to be a huge success. So fingers crossed we can try and get that win at home against Bournemouth and really build on what we've started.
Yep, 3-3, a Premier League classic, but a weird one where neither of the teams actually involved took too much away from it in terms of points, but we're still only 4 points away from the safety position, so there's still a good chance. But like you said, Bournemouth up next, huge game on Thursday night. Ollie, what are you thinking going into this game, and what can we take from Arsenal into this?
Well, I'm cautiously confident. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah.
I'm concerned in the fact that Bournemouth feel like they have a good feeling going around the club at the moment. They've been putting some good results together. They beat Spurs, which I watched and thought was very funny until I realised, oh, Christ, we'll play Bournemouth soon, haven't we? Which is not good. So I was kind of laughing at Spurs until I realised, oh, yeah, we're going to have to play Bournemouth. But they're under caretaker manager at the moment, aren't they?
No, Gary O'Neill got it full time, but he had a bit of a rocky start, but obviously beat Liverpool. I think beat Everton as well in there at some point.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Yeah, they beat Spurs most recently, beat Leicester as well. So they're beating teams they need to, and then also beating teams like Spurs and causing upsets. So, I'm a little bit concerned that they're on some good form. Solanke scoring, which is interesting because I didn't think I'd
very
see
odd.
That. Yeah. So one to watch there possibly. But I think it's our best opportunity to pick up points possibly until the end of the season at home against Bournemouth. So it's kind of now or never. And I think the players will be so fired up from it. As you said, coming off the Arsenal game, that confidence of knowing, well, we've done it against the league leaders, we can go and do it against anyone. I think that will really shine through. So it's a massive game and we've come off the back of a very good performance. So hopefully we can continue that through and it will show in the Bournemouth game.
Jamie, do you think our players will be confident or disheartened? Because there's two ways that a lot of people can look at it, in the fact that we dropped points or we dropped a lead. Or do you think there might be a split in the players? Sort of, what would you feel if you were one of the players coming off the back of the 3-3 draw?
I'd be confidently disheartened. That's what I'd say. Mainly because I think the confidence that show that they can, they still have the levels in them to be a Premier League club. But it's also this point where I was thinking, the fact they did drop the 3 points, but they are good enough to get a point away to Arsenal, the league leaders. I think it's a bittersweet confidence high. That's probably a better way to say it, because they are good players, and well, maybe not all of them, but there is some quality in there, and we can fight for this game against Bournemouth, and hopefully start saying we saved you to them, because this weird rivalry they're trying to put on us and singing songs about getting relegated, I do not like. Because we helped save the Cherries. We've loaned you many players in the past, like Boric, Sermon, the Goat, Shane Long. And more recently, Jack Stevens, who's helping them to stay in the Premier League. Show us a bit more respect, please, Bournemouth fans, because we don't deserve the hate.
Blimey, that is quite the speech that you gave there.
All right, I've been penting that up.
Oh, Jamie said that he would have confidence, but it's a bit of a different challenge, isn't it? We've struggled against teams that might sit in a low block that might make it difficult. The reason that we've scored against the teams like Chelsea, the teams like Tottenham, Leicester, you know, most recently Arsenal as well, is because they're not as quite tight defensively. They're the teams that want to have most of the ball. They're the sort of teams that have, you know, want to push forward. They're not the sort of teams that get caught on the transition because, you know, the defensive teams, because they don't always put that many players forward. So it's not quite as simple as bringing one thing into the last game into this one, because it's a completely different challenge.
Yeah, I mean, Bournemouth have been playing basically a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-2-3-1, whatever way you want to put it around. They're basically the same anyway. But they play that system. Unless they play a big team, they'll play a 5-back. But they've been playing this 4-4-1-1 system over O'Neill. They do look to play a low block. They do look to play balls into their two big men. Philip Billing has been fantastic for them this year. He's got 7 goals this season with his late runs into the box. That's something that is going to be massive danger for us. We've been really poor this year tracking runners into the box, tracking that third man run. We've not been very good at it, and that's going to be one of the main players to look out for, is Billing making that third man run into the box. Dominic Solanke, of course, has picked up goals recently, but that's what he does when you give him chances, as much as he's been kind of poor in the Premier League when he has played. Like, he's played at high levels and youth levels in England. He's moved from Chelsea to Liverpool for a reason. They saw quality in him. It's just not come off until now, and he's having a really good spell at the moment, scoring goals. it will be a much more difficult game. Will probably be a similar game to Palace in a way, where it will be us trying to break down this lower block. They're going to be playing on the counter attack. They've got players who are able to break forward quickly and try and create things, like Marcus Tavernier, who plays for them. Does Johnson start? I don't know. I just know he's quite quick. So is it Johnson? I don't know. But no, they've had really strong weeks recently, and it's pushed them out of a very dangerous situation. Everyone thought Bournemouth was going to be down. Turns out they're not quite yet. They might even stay up compared to the rest of the league. But no, they'll be a very solid back four. Probably won't push many players forward from their back four. Like, their fullbacks probably won't get small. Adam Smith maybe, but he's more of a defensive fullback than an attacking fullback. They'll get their wingers nice and high and wide. Billing will be a main target, main source for them. Solanke getting on the end of crosses. But yeah, it'll be a difficult game for us, because it is the completely different. We won't be able to play that transition game. We won't be able to get the spaces that we managed to exploit against Arsenal. So yeah, it's about trying to create and trying to create a chance to be able to put the ball in the back of the net. So I could see us probably making quite a few changes from how we started against Arsenal. I would have thought we would have, being a different game in different circumstances, but I don't know. I'm guessing we'll just see an hour before kickoff on Thursday night.
Before we get to the score predictions, Ollie, how do you want to see us attack this game? Because I do feel there's a lot of similarities between us and Bournemouth, maybe from them at the start of the season and us now. The fact that a lot of people wrote them off, a lot of people are writing us off now. They had a lot of that business in January, so do we. So what do you think, and how should we attack this game?
I'd like to see us hold on to the possession, but kind of set the tempo of the game rather than being kind of passive and safe. I think there's been a few times where we've had the opposition have kind of been not given us the ball, but happy for us to keep the ball, because it looks like we're not really going to pose any threat. And we've struggled with creating chances, but we can definitely do it on our day. There was times against Arsenal where mainly on counter-attacks and applying pressure, we created our chances, but there is still the quality in there to create opportunities from open play. So what I'd love to see is for us to create chances, create dangerous opportunities, and put the opposition on their back foot by being aggressive, by taking risks, putting players forwards, and using that little bit of advantage at home with the fans on your side to kind of keep the momentum and set the tempo of the game, hopefully.
Right, score prediction time for the game against Bournemouth. Jamie, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I'm going for a sneaky 2-1 victory. That's what I reckon. This is a nice little... They'll probably get one first of 15 minutes. They'll be like, oh no, we're going to lose. But no, Big Paul will come on and get a brace.
I love that you keep backing Big Paul. He's going to get a goal at some point. He has to get a goal at some point. I'm going to go for a 10-2-1. Mikey, what do you think?
I think it'll be a tight 1-0. It was Jaden Anthony was the guy I was trying to think of, not Johnson. So I just
I looked through the squad. I was like, who's he talking about?
Yeah. No, I think I got confused. I got confused with a Celtic player. So I've got no idea. But yeah, Jaden Anthony was the one I was thinking. No, it'll be a tight 1-0, I think. I think we'll just about hold on. But again, that's keeping a clean sheet, which we haven't got many of.
We've done it against Man City at home. We could do it against anyone. Ollie, what do you think?
I was going to say a 2-1, so I was quite pleased when Jamie said that, because great minds think alike.
3-2-1. Thank you. So we all think we're going to win. That's the positivity that we want to see. Ooh. And that's the positivity that we've got to bring into the game against Newcastle. It's a Sunday match. Jamie, what do you think going into this game, and should we prioritise a game, Bournemouth, Newcastle, one that's certainly more winnable than the other? I know we've talked about this a lot during the season, and all the time people have said, no, we shouldn't prioritise a game. But for me, just pack everyone into the Thursday game. Hope you get 3 points. Put all the energy into that. And if you've got any left, put it against Newcastle, because that's going to be a stern test.
We've done Newcastle away once this season. We don't need to do it again.
Take the energy out of us.
Exactly. let's just spin it off. Just give him 3 points and go, you know, just take it. Kieran Trippier, go on. Have it, mate. Go on. But yeah, I fully agree with you, Thomas. I think Bournemouth is a much more important game. I know Newcastle's form has dipped a tiny bit recently. However, they're really fighting for that Champions League spots now. And they will not give up a home win to little old Southampton.
I mean, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen against Tottenham. They could win that game, but a big 3-0 loss to Aston Villa last week. They've had a few wins, quite a few in that, but they've stopped keeping the clean sheets that, you know, made Eddie Howe famous in the last few weeks due to the fact that from a Bournemouth team that conceded 60, 70, 80 goals a season, it's completely changed around. Mikey, how can we break this Newcastle team down? Is there a way that we can get past them? Because a lot has changed since that Cup semi-final.
I think they're still playing that 4-3-3 system. I mean, they may have lost to Villa 3-0, but it was 5 wins in a row before that, and they played against Manchester United during that run, and it also included a 5-1 win away at West Ham as well. So, yeah, they were... yeah, that's not fantastic to come into. I know they had a slight dip at Villa, but Villa are having a wonderful second half of the season compared to the first half under Unai Emery. So I wouldn't look into that too much. I think Villa will definitely probably be up there next year if they continue this form. I think they have a main target in Dan Burn that I think a lot of teams will go after and go for just because he's not very mobile. He's a good player in the air, good player for set pieces, can get up and down the field, but he does lack that mobility that some teams have. So trying to isolate him one-on-one could be a way of getting around Newcastle and that back four. Nick Pope hasn't been as solid, as you said before, that he has been. So maybe getting a couple of shots off may be helpful too. But it's stopping Newcastle ticking. Bruno Guimarães is going to be the one that you're after. He is the one that has been Newcastle's sort of man just around the entire club. He's been fantastic this season. Really, really strong player and someone who they adore up there, don't they? They absolutely adore him. So I can see Newcastle being a similar setup to what we played against Arsenal. They play in this very similar way in that 4-3-3. Probably a little bit more direct than Arsenal is. Arsenal a little bit more patient, but it's stopping those balls into the 10, not the 10, the 6 in Bruno. It's stopping those balls into there and just trying to prevent him from getting onto the ball. And as soon as they start going longer, because they can, they've got Isaac, they've got Gordon, they've got players who will have the ability to get in behind, like a Jacob Murphy, even though technically he's probably not as great, he still has great speed as a winger. So trying to stop that will probably be harder because they can go a little bit more direct. But yeah, I think that 4-4-2 system may be able to work up there. I think we will have the ability to press him high. There will be spaces for transition. It's just taking the opportunities we get, which is something we haven't done a lot this season. So yeah, fingers crossed it comes out all right.
And the final question before the second set of score predictions. Ollie, do you think there's similarities between this game and the game against Arsenal that's just passed, and the fact that no one has really got any expectation for us to win this game? But there's always a chance. With us, there's always a chance. And, you know, if they're not massively wobbling, but they'll be hurting from that Aston Villa game and could be hurting even more if they lose against Tottenham. There's just that little bit of space where if we get an early goal, anything could happen.
Yeah, you're right. The one problem is I think I've got a real bad taste in my mouth whenever we play Newcastle. From when they got the game postponed for not having enough players, and then suddenly the next game, when it was rearranged, they had all of these amazing quality players in. And I think we've lost every single time since they've had their financial takeover. So I really think it's almost like our bogey team. They have immense quality now. And yeah, really frustrating. Eddie Howe's proved the fact that he's a quality manager, and it helps with all of the quality they have in that side as well. So I don't really expect much, to be honest, especially with the fact we've got a game so close with the Bournemouth one as well. But like you say, there's always a chance, albeit we could create a little bit of an upset and get a bit of luck on our day, but I think it's a small chance, and I won't be betting on it, unfortunately.
We'll be asking one of our players to be the El Hero Elia to get those two goals and to cause a shock up north. Score prediction time. I'm going to go to Mikey first. What do you think is going to happen?
1-1. Why not? Go for it. I can see us struggling in this game. Maybe if it's an Arsenal-like performance, then we could be able to get something. But the signs of this season seems like that's maybe a one-off compared to the rest of the year. I'll go for a 1-1.
And Ollie?
2-2?
2-2.
For a penalty. I reckon there'll be a penalty in the Walprouse penalty.
Lovely stuff, right. I'm going to say a frustrating 2-0 loss, but I've given Jamie the last score prediction because he likes to bring the energy for the score predictions to give us a good ending to this podcast.
You just mentioned there, Harry, you want an Algeria earlier. The one man I mentioned in my previous score prediction, be that guy. Tall Paul, redemption.
I think there's a lot of similarities. I don't think there's a lot of similarities in their playing style. I can't lie. Maybe Sulemana. A few there.
But I don't know. Maybe 1-1. 1-1 draw. I don't want some positivity, Harry. But I don't like saying we're gonna lose. But 1-1.
So a nervous feeling. A nervous feeling around this game. Hopefully we can get 4 points at least from these two games. Maybe six, but probably. Hopefully, at least three. Right, anyway, that's enough that we've done for this podcast. We talked about Arsenal and what a game it was at the Emirates Stadium. 3-3, plenty of ups, plenty of downs, but we weren't behind at any point in that game, which, you know, very surprising. And do you know what? We proved a lot of people wrong in just doing that. We then moved on to Bournemouth. How good they've been recently, but there's always a chance there, especially at home under the lights at St Mary's. Will there be a light show? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And then all the way up to Newcastle. What can happen there? I don't know. We'll have to find out. We're still in the relegation zone. We're still in the bottom of the table, but anything can happen. I've been Harry Tizard and I've been joined by Ollie Boast.
Thank you very much for listening.
Jamie Allen.
Thank you and goodbye.
Mikey Maysman.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next week.